Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sukkah is daf Nun Gimel. We are on Nun Beis Amud Beis. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be run with Zeich Nishmas Lois Lupin Zoltzman. Yesterday's daf was a dedication to the topic of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah came up in yesterday's daf and really, for the most part, took over yesterday's daf because we learned about the Tikkun Gadol. Tikkun Gadol that was done in the Beis Hamikdash, where there was a major modification done in the Beis Hamikdash. The reason why is because for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it was a major festivity that was basically seven continuous nights of Simcha and song and dance in the Beis Hamikdash, and we'll discuss more of it today, and how to make sure that at the same time with their Simcha, there's also going to be a level of tznius and a level of separation between men and women. So they trial and error. They tried a couple of things. They tried the They tried first the men on the outside, the women on the inside. Rashi says that was in the Har HaBayis. The men were outside the Har HaBayis. That didn't work. So they tried the men on the inside, the women on the outside. That didn't work. So the Tikkun Gadol was a reference to making a balcony. There was a balcony that was created for women in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Ezras Nashim, so they created a balcony. That was the Tikkun Gadol mentioned back in the Mishnah. Vis-a-vis the permissibility to do that, meaning that you're making a modification to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is based on architectural design by the grand architect, by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So how can you make any type of modification? So the Gemara says that they quoted Psukim. They darshan Psukim, meaning it's based on a Daraisa principle, that men and women need to be separated. So based on that Daraisa principle, so they felt that the ideal is to have the men and women separated, and that's not just an ideal, it's a din Daraisa. So it's by biblical law, so therefore they performed that modification. And then the Gemara, as long as we quote the Psukim Zechariah, so then the Gemara discussed the Yetzirah. So yesterday's daf really was a daf dedicated to Machshava, to Hashkafa, in terms of how do we understand the Yetzirah. Probably the highlight of yesterday's daf, and that's certainly not for me to say, but the highlight of yesterday's daf, one of the key points of yesterday's daf, was a statement made by Abaye. Abaye says at the bottom of the Amud, remember the incident we saw yesterday, Abaye was escorting, that's not exactly the way he saw it, he was protecting, but there was a man and woman who was walking, they were not married, they were walking down the path together, and Abaye says, you know what, I'll follow them and I'll try to prevent them from sin when they get to a secluded area. When they got to the end of whatever their journey was, so they basically said goodbye to each other, and they both went on the separate paths, and there was no sin, and Abaye didn't have to protect them from anything. They just simply walked along. And Abaye says, you know, if that were me, he made a very honest and open admission. He said, if that were me, so he says, I wouldn't have refrained from sinning. And he was depressed. In other words, he felt terrible. How come that guy has no problem refraining from sin, and how come I would have had a major problem refraining from sin? So he got depressed, and he was met by a Saba. He was met by an elderly man. The Gemara doesn't identify him. We speculated yesterday that maybe Eliyahu Hanavi, but that's just speculation. But he says to him, "Kol hagadol mechavero yitzro gadol hemenu." That was the very bottom of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. That when you're greater than your friend, your Yetzirah is commensurate to your greatness. So your Yetzirah is not that you ascend higher than your Yetzirah. Your Yetzirah grows with you. So the greater you get, the greater your Yetzirah is. So he says to Abaye, look, yes, you would have sinned. You would have sinned because you're Abaye, you're a great human being. And you're a great individual. So you would have sinned. That person, okay, wasn't that great. And therefore, he didn't have as strong as Yetzirah. Okay, that's the Yesod Gadol that we learned yesterday regarding the Yetzirah. And we continue. We're on Nun Beis Amud Beis. We didn't finish the daf yesterday. We are right in the middle of the Amud. In fact, it's the last narrow line of the Amud. It's right in the middle of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Yochanan.
Could you argue that since Hashem didn't have a balcony built, that maybe it meant to men and women to sit together?
Yeah, in other words, but again, you could argue, Lo B'Shamayim here. In other words, the Chachamim felt that this was the way to do it. So it was they decided. So you okay? You could argue, but nah, that's the right, the correct. The Gemara is pretty clear. I'm Rav Yochanan, Aver Katan Yeshel LaAdam. So again, now on this discussion of Yetzahara, so the Gemara says Aver Katan. The Gemara describes the male organ. So Yeshel LaAdam Mar Evo Savea Masbio Ra'ev, and the Gemara says it's counterintuitive. It's not what you would have thought. In other words, how do you satisfy it? You satisfy it by not giving it by not overstimulating it. Meaning mar evo, if you starve it, so to say, saveya, then it's satiated. But masbio, but just the opposite. If you overstimulate it, so then ra'ev, then it becomes hungry. Shenamar kamari sem vayisbu. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Hosea, making this point. So again, it's the way the Gemara here gives us practical, very practical advice in terms of how to deal with the Yetzirah. I'm Rav Chana Bar Acha Amri Beirav Arba Mischarid Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shabaran. Kadosh Baruch Hu has regret that he created these four items. Now, to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu has regret really gives a personification of Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's anthropomorphic, meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't regret. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. In other words, the idea of regret by Kadosh Baruch Hu is just difficult for us to understand. But Gemaras like this, where we have some sort of, where it gives us some sort of, just framework of understanding. So it speaks in terms that we can relate to. But in other words, but hard to use these words in the description of Akash Baruch Hu. So ve'elohim, but the four things that Akash, in other words, Akash Baruch Hu doesn't like these things. That's the basic point of the Gemara. And they are galus kasim yishma'elam yitzahara. So galus is treated like an entity. Galus is the diaspora. Kasdim are the Chaldeans. Yishma'elim, okay, ostensibly the Arabs, and Yetzahara. Four things. Galus, Dechsev, and the Gemara cites Psukim for all four of these things. Number one, regarding Galus Vata, Mali Po Noam Hashem. So Mali Po, meaning you have no business being here, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a reference to Galus. Kilakach Ami Chinam, because you took my nation for nothing. Okay, so that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu shows his disdain towards this idea of Galus, that we are dispersed amongst the nations. Kasdim, what about the Chaldeans? Dechsev, Hein Eretz Kasdim, Zeham Lo Hayam. All right, I wish this nation never was. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not like the Kasdim. What do we know about the Kasdim? So we know Avram was by the Kasdim, and Avram was thrown into the furnace by the Kasdim. I can't give you a lot more information about regarding the Kasdim, but okay. Yishma'elim dechsev yishalyo alim l'sho dedim. It's interesting. This pasuk, the Gemara quotes in Eov, pasuk doesn't actually mention Yishma'elim by name, but it's understood that the tent dwellers, okay, the nomads, the tent dwellers, which is a reference to the Yishma'elim, uvetuchos and margizei kel, they quarrel with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. La asher hevi alokah b'yado. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought them about. Okay, the Yishmael, it's a direct result of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, Avram married Hagar. Hagar, the two of them had Yishmael. Right, by rights they should have died. Meaning, when Yishmael was sent away with Hagar, so they were in the desert. They were close to dying, and the Malach comes and saves them. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu was responsible. So in his infinite wisdom, so he created them. But at the same time, the Gemara says, he regrets. He has disdain. Yetzahara dechsev, and Akash Baruch Hu has regrets for the Yetzahara. Asher hare osi. It caused evil. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Malach Shosh Mekoros Halol Nismotu to Raglem Shosanem Shal Yisrael. Three psukim are lifesavers for the Jewish people. Without these psukim, the Sonem Shal Yisrael, you know the Gemara, whenever you use the Gemara, uses that term, it's a euphemism. It means the Jewish people. The Jewish people would not be able to stand had it not been for these three psukim. These three psukim are real lifesavers. Chad Dechsev Asher HaRiosi, right? The pasuk of Asher HaRiosi, Rashi says, you have to look at the totality of the pasuk, because the totality of the pasuk, Rashi writes, Asher HaRiosi, Reisha Dekra Osfa Hatzol Ava Nidcha Akapsa V'Asher HaRiosi Ani Barisi Yetzahara HaMechtim V'Garam Tilehem Kol Zos. I'm gonna take it away. Eventually, in the future, I'm going to take away the Yetzahara. Okay, so in other words, right now, we're dealing with the Yetzahara, we're battling with the Yetzahara, but eventually, Akash Baruch Hu will take it away. Okay, that's a bit of a nechama. Okay, and again, go back to the beginning of yesterday's daf, and you remember that one of the opinions was that the eulogy, the grand eulogy that will take place in the time of the Mashiach, will be for the death of Yetzirah. Chad dechsev hineka chomer biyadayotze kenatem. Another pasuk says that we are in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and v'idach v'asdoros is laven mi besarchem nasati lechem leiv basar. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises us that he's going to remove our stone heart, our callousness, our cynicism, and he's going to replace it with lev basar. Okay, we'll have a functional working heart with a good card, with strong cardiac muscle. Rav Papa Amar Af Mehai Nami Vesruchi Atem Bekir Bechem. Rav Papa says, I'll just add one more pasuk to this discussion. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give ruchi. He's going to give part of his. We'll have more ruach, more spirituality within us, and that will happen as well. So again, three, perhaps four pasukim that are going to be a bit of a comfort for us. Yetzer hara will be removed from us. We'll have more spirituality. We'll have a better connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara goes on. Vayirena Hashem arba. I'm sorry. Bekibrechem vayirena Hashem arba charashim maninu. Now, in this pasuk that we just quoted, so it's a reference to four charashim. Charashim, smiths, carpenters. Who are they? Builders. Arba charashim amar Rav Chana bar Bizna amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida Meshich ben David Meshich ben Yosef Eliyahu v'Kohen Tzedek. So the four builders are the two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. We just spoke about that in yesterday's daf, regarding this idea that there will first be a Mashiach ben Yosef who will fight the fight of Gog and Magog and will die, and then followed by Mashiach ben David, and then Eliyahu, who is heralding the coming of Mashiach, and Kohen Tzedek. Now, as far as them being builders, so the two Mashiachs, that's kind of intuitive, meaning they're going to build four. They're going to build a third base of Mikdash. They're going to, in other words, we can understand the term builder in their sense. Eliyahu as well. Eliyahu was a builder. Rashi points out he built the Mizbeach in Har Carmel. Okay, he's also a builder. Kohen Tzedek, who are we talking about? When the Gemara says that the fourth builder is Kohen Tzedek. So again, take a look at Rashi. And Rashi writes, Hushem ben Noach. So the reference to the fourth builder is a reference to Shem. Why? So Rashi arrives at this conclusion in a somewhat circuitous fashion. Rashi says, first take a look at the pasuk in Yeshayahu, and then he says, now look at the pasuk in Breishis, I'm sorry, look at the Medrash in Breishis Rabbah. Mefarishlei b'malki tzedek shabali kras Avraham abarchu v'chizku v'karu cherish al-shem b'nyan ha-teva shabana im aviv. Okay, the Malki Tzedek, which we know is Shem, right, who met Avraham. So he's a builder because he built what? The Teva. He built the Teva together with his father. Noach built the Teva. Noach didn't build it alone. He built it together with his son Shem. I know. What about Ham? What about Yafes? Okay, I don't know. Meaning not why Shem gets the credit of building together with his father. But anyway, okay, the four builders that's referenced to in that pasuk in Yechezkel. Meisa Rav Sheshes Yihachi Anu Dichsiv Ayomar Elai Eila HaKranosa Sher Zaru Es Yehuda. So Rav Sheshes says, I don't understand. Meaning you're telling me that these four builders, quote-unquote, are a reference to the two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Dov, Mashiach ben Yosef, Eliyahu, and Shem. What are you talking about? So you look at the Pasuk in Zechariah, and the Pasuk says, Ela Kranos, these corners, Asher Zaris Yehuda, they dispersed Yehuda. Dispersed Yehuda, what do you mean? They're doing just the opposite. They're bringing the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. Hanu L'shuva Asu. Amalei Shvila Sefer Dekra. So he says, no, what are you talking about? Meaning, go back to the psukim and look at the pasuk in context. Vayom v'yavo eila la'acharido sam liyadoses karnos agoyim anosim karen al eretz Yehuda lezarosa. If you look further in the pasuk, you'll see that no, that the four builders are not a reference to the people who are dispersing. The people are dispersing; those are a reference to other people. But the karnos, the corners, the builders—that's who we just identified. Amalei b'hadi chana ba'agadat alam. So he says, you know what? That's my fault. I'm asking questions to Rav Chana. I'm asking him questions regarding Agadata. I shouldn't do that. He knows much more Agadata than me. He knows Tanakh. He knows the Medrash. Like, okay, that was my fault. I shouldn't have asked those questions. Okay. V'haya ze shalom ashur ki yavo bar tzenev v'chi yedrok bar mnasenev v'akemno aleinu shiva roim u'shmona nesiche adam. Okay, almost done with this section of the Agadata. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Micha. The Pasuk in Micha identifies seven shepherds and Shmona Nesiche Adam, eight dignitaries. So who are these seven shepherds? Ma'aninu Sheva Roim, David Be'emso, so we're going to put David in the center. You know, at any of these collections of groupings of people, David is, not always, but very often David is like the epicenter. It's interesting, it always comes out that way. Again, not always. Often comes out that way. David Be'emtza, Adam Shes and Metushalach Mi'imino. So on the right side of Adam, we're going to put Adam Shes and Metushalach. They all were before the Mabul. And Avram Yaakov and Moshe B'smolon. And we're going to put Avram Yaakov and Moshe on his left. So those are the seven shepherds. Okay. In terms of this configuration, if you're confused, you're in excellent company. Rashi's confused. Rashi writes, I don't really know why these are the seven, quote-unquote, seven shepherds. Lo yadati, I'll read Rashi, Shiva Rom, Ushmon, and Sichem. Lo yadati, Mem Tam. Kemeduma li darmina ba'alma. I'm sorry. Kemeduma li darmina ba'alma. Okay, as Rashi says, I don't know. I don't know why these are the seven. You put Davin in the middle, and you put the three greats before the Mabul on his right, and Avram, Yaakov, and Moshe on his left. And Rashi says, basically, oh, you got me on this one. And then Rashi says, but there is a conspicuous absence from this list, and that, of course, is Yitzchak. We have three patriarchs. And so you mention Avram, you mention Yaakov, and then Moshe, meaning what happened to Yitzchak? So Rashi says, V'Yitzchak Lehechan Azal, Lahatzo Banov Midinav Shal Gehenem, Kidyachsiv Ke'ata Avinu. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, and Rashi, it's a Yalkut, and Rashi says that Yitzchak was busy extracting the Jews from Gehenna. Okay? Again, in this context, so I quote the Rashi, I share with you the Rashi, I don't claim I understand, but okay, but Rashi recognizes the fact that Yitzchak's not in the list. Now the eight dignitaries, who are they? Yishai, Shaul, Shmuel, Amos, Safanya. Now in our Gears in the Gemara we have Tzidkiyahu. On the side, Tzidkiyahu is replaced with Chizkiyahu. Mashiach Veliyahu. Okay, so a list of eight dignitaries. And again, I'll just reiterate Rashi. I don't know why these are the eight dignitaries. I mean, obviously by collecting and pooling these eight people together, obviously there's some sort of theme that's created. And I'm certainly not going to give myself nor you time to think right now. Later today, you'll write them down, the seven and the eight, and you'll try to make sense of it. Arba Sulamos. Okay, we're back to the Mishnah. All right, when we go back to the Mishnah, usually that means we take a break from the Agarata, and we go back to the Mishnah, and we discuss Halacha. Although that's not going to happen now, because the Mishnah is discussing, not Agarata, but how it once was in the Beis HaMikdash. So remember the description we had, where the Kohanim would go up these poles. In other words, these are very high poles. We're going to see later this morning, it's going to be 50 amas in the air. That's 100 feet in the air, approximately. And so the ladder is going to be leaned against these poles, where the Kohanim, these young Kohanim, are going to go up the ladder, holding jugs of oil, pour the oil in the bowls. Remember, there are four bowls in each one of on the top of each of these poles. And that provides a light, illumination for the Ezras Hashem, and as the Mishnah mentioned, illumination for really the entire city of Yerushalayim. So now question is, just a technical question of how to read the Mishnah. So, first, Tana, Govashu Menor Chamishim Amah. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. I said later this morning, of course I meant now. The Tana quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says the poles were 50 Amas high. Good. So that's 100 feet, approximately 100 feet in the air. Arbi Yaladim Shapirchekunav Yadem Kadei Shemin Shalmea V'esim Log. Now the Gemara just asks a technical question, and that is, Ibayalahu Mea V'esim Log Kulu? Is that 120 Log total? Or is it going to be divided amongst the four poles? So that means 120 divided by 4, 30 for each pole. Tashma v'yadem kadeshem shloshim shloshim lug, shem kulam mea v'esrim lug. Okay, so we have a brisa, and the brisa clarifies that it's 30 lug per lantern. Continuing. Tana v'hein mishubachim hayu yosem mi b'na shel marta bas baitos. How incredible a feat was it to be able to take the jugs of oil and climb a ladder 50 amas in the air and pour the oil? So the Gemara says it was fantastic. It was unbelievable, not unbelievable, believable, but it was more impressive than that of the son of Marta Bas Baitos. Marta Bas Baitos, recall we discussed her back in Yuma not that long ago. But Amru al Benasha Marta Bas Baitos, what was so notable about her son? Shayenoto Shte Yerechos Shel Shur Hagadol Shel Akuch Belav Zuz O Mahalach Ekev Bitzad Godel. So he was able to take two thighs of an ox, a particularly large ox, an ox that caused a thousand zuz, and he was able to take them in his two hands and walk up the ramp. And no other Kohanim, the Kohanim in general didn't like that. First of all, they didn't like it because basically you had one guy doing many people's work, and in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, Rov Am Hadras Melech, we'd prefer if more people were involved. It's better that way. It's more Shevach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's more covered for the service. But nevertheless, he was able to do that. These Kohanim were more impressive. Now, my Mishubachim, the Gemara says, why? What gives the Gemara the right to say that unequivocally the climbing of the ladders to pour the oil on the top is more impressive than the march that the son of Marta Bas Baitos did up the ramp? So Ilema Mishum Yukra Hani Yukire Tve. So the Gemara says, in terms of weight, so what are you talking about? The Shte Yerechos are heavier than the jugs of oil. Elahasam Kevishum Ruba Velo Zakif Hachas Ulamas Vizakif Tuva. So the Gemara says it's all about the incline. The incline makes the Kohanim's climb up the ladder more impressive than the march up the ramp. Okay, this morning, not out of boredom, and not because I couldn't sleep, but this morning I did a little bit of math. So the march up the ramp. So I mean, Rashi gives the numbers, but I just did a little bit of math. So the ramp was 9 amas high, and the plane of the hypotenuse going up to the top of the mizbech were 32 amas long. So just a little basic trigonometry, and I figured that the incline was 16 degrees, 16 and a third. Huh? It is pretty steep. So anyway, so that's not nothing. But that's the incline of 16 and a third, right? It's the inverse sine of 9 over 32. Okay, just in case anyone was curious. Okay, good. I know I lose people when it comes to math. So that's the march up the ramp. But when it comes to the ladder, so the ladder obviously is nearly parallel. Obviously, it's not parallel, otherwise it wouldn't be that stable. But the ladder is nearly parallel going up to the top of the lantern, and so you're basically talking about an ascent of 50 amos nearly straight up. So the Gemara says that's what makes it the most impressive in terms of why these Kohanim are even more impressive than the carrying of the two thighs up the ramp to the top of the Mizbech. V'lo hayachatzer b'Yerushalayim Tana. We're now on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Isha Isa Bereres Chitim L'Or Shel Beis HaShoeva. How much light did it provide? So the Gemara quantifies. Obviously, the measure of quantification is not going to be, in terms of, they weren't able to quantify light, but how do they quantify? Based on what people could do. A woman could separate wheat using the illumination provided by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Here's an interesting Tosfos over here. You want to take a look on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph? Yep, that's exactly what bothers Tosfos. Isha Isa Barer Chitam L'Simchas Beis HaShoeva B'Yushami Parech. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara Yushami, and the Yushami is bothered by the following. Heich Boreres Ha'ika Me'ila. What are you talking about? Using the illumination provided by the oil, this oil was hektish, it belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, using the illumination in order to separate your wheat, right, to separate your wheat, meaning, right, basically, this wheat's good, this wheat's not good, maybe debugging the wheat. You are gaining benefit from the property of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a no-no, that's called me'ila. The Yerushalmi is bothered by this very question. And I'm reading on in Tosfos, Ha'ika Me'ila, Deshem Neptila, Ha'yushal Hekdesh, Umishane. So the Yerushalmi's answer is, Kol Amar Avarech Ein Vay Mishum Me'ila. The listening to the Beis HaMikdash, the viewing of the Beis HaMikdash, and the smells that are produced from the Beis HaMikdash, so Ein Vay Mishum Me'ila is not subject to Me'ila. Fine. That's the Yerushalmi's answer. Tosfos says that's a great answer, but it's an incomplete answer. Why? Because the Beper Kol Shana. Now he goes, turns to the Bavli, and he says, do you remember what we learned back in Pesachim? Now I know for us this is a while back, but do you remember what we learned back in Pesachim? Armin Allah Me'ila Hu Deleka Ha'Yisur Ika. Well, the Gemara says, yeah, it's not formally Me'ila. You're not in formal violation of Me'ila, but you know what? It's still prohibited, right? To gain smell of the wonderful Ketores coming out of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's not Me'ila per se. You didn't violate Me'ila formally, but you can't do it. It's usur. So v'yeshlam deberes lavdavka ela klamer ha'isa yichol liver merov ora. So Tosfos ends off by saying, well, we're not saying that a woman actually separated her wheat. It means that there's enough light where it could happen, but not that it actually happened. That's Tosfos' response in terms of how to circumvent the issue of Me'ila. Tan Rabban and Chasidim Anshe Maisa. Sorry, second line down on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Tan Rabban Yeshmeim Omrim Asher Yilotena Shalom Baisha Zikno Senu. Now there were various refrains that were said during the process and procedure of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. We saw a little bit of it in the Mishnah back on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara gives us more. So the Gemara here quotes the Tosefta. So some of the Chasidim and the Zekanim who were there dancing in the Ezras Nashim during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, here's their refrain. Thank God during our youth, it doesn't embarrass us in our old age. Right? For a number of people, their youth is not spent doing things that are productive, but things that are unproductive. And as you get older, you say, oh, I regret some of the things that happened in my youth. So the Gemara says, these particular Zekanim were able to say, no, we were not unproductive in our youth, we were productive. Eile chasidim anshei maisa. And this is a reference to chasidim anshei maisa. V'yesh mei marmim, asher ziknas in a shekapra as yilu l'senu. And then others will say, okay, look, in our youth we weren't so productive, and maybe we were counterproductive, but at least now we can say, okay, we've reformed, we've mended our ways. Eile balei tshuva. And then the refrain that's said by everybody is, look, better of course not to sin, but at the same time, if you sin, you do tshuva, and you'll receive mechila. Tanya Amar Lava Hila Zakin Kishaya Sameach B'Simchas Beis Hashoeva Amar Kain Imani Kana Kol Kan. Perhaps the most famous line of today's daf was the refrain said by Hillel. Hillel says, Imani Kana Kol Kan. At face value, what that means is that if I'm here, so then everyone's here, right? I am the center of the party. Rashi says that's a nice way to translate it, but don't translate it that way. That's not what Hillel meant. Take a look at Rashi. Amani kana kol kan. Rashi, third line down, fourth line down. Dorish haya l'rabim shelo yachtu b'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was expounding, right? Don't sin in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imani kana kol kan kol zman sh'ani chafetz b'bayis hazeh. The ani is not a reference to Hillel. The ani over here is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? If I can, Rashi does not say this, but let's add that what do we see just a little bit earlier in the Masechta? Aniva ho hoshiana. Right? That part of the hoshanas that we do, we go around the base of Mikdash. So what do we say? We say aniva ho. So aniva ho, what was that? So we saw the Rashi earlier in the Masechta. That was two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word ani, I know in Hebrew it means me, but it also is the Shem Shal Hashem. It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So imani kan, the ani, Hillel is not saying himself. He's saying if Hashem is here, so then HaKol kan, then everything is here. I just finished up the Rashi. Shani chafetz b'bayis hazeh v'shichanti shur yabo yeh kvodo kayam. That's what Hillel meant, imani kan HaKol kan. Probably misunderstood by, I would say, most everybody. I can't tell you. I haven't polled. But in other words, but the way that the proper way to understand it says Rashi is the ani is not a reference to Hillel, it's a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So yeh kvodu kayam v'yavoa kol kan v'im techtu v'asalei shchinasi miyavi kan. And meaning, and let's say the ani, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu, wasn't here. So if the ani is not there, the shchina is not there in the base of Mikdash, and then who's going to go? Okay. Yes. Right, it's the ani. Okay. By the way, just not for now. Tosos also has a read on what the imani kana kol kan means. But I give you basic. I give you Rashi, and it's Rashi says the ani is not a reference to Hillel. It's a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The imani kan mi kan.
The gematria of Hillel and is the same as Adoshem.
Oh, you know? Who's? Yeah, oh, I see. Okay, I'm looking at the same thing. Okay. Okay, good. So, v'imeni kan mi kan. Back to the Gemara. Hu ayomer mi ken lamakom shani ohev sham ragli molichot oti. So, another refrain that was said by Hillel is, you know what? My legs do the walking, and my legs make the determination. Im tavo abisi ani avo abisecha. Im atalo tavo abisi ani lo avo abisecha. You come to my house, I come to yours. Quid pro quo. And if you don't come to my house, I don't come to yours. Shenemra b'chol makom asher askir shmi avo elecho verachticha. So you come to me, and I will come back to you, and I will give you bracha. Afu ra'al. Sorry, so that was another refrain of Hillel, meaning that basically wherever you go, so whatever will be reciprocated back to you. You go to Beis Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu will come to your house. Afu ra'al gugolos achas shitsapa al pnei hamayim. And then, this should be familiar, this is Pirkei Avos, another refrain of Hillel. He saw a skull floating on the water. Amar la al da atafta atfucha, because you drowned somebody else, so you yourself will drown. And again, the same basic idea, what comes around goes around. So right, the Gemara is putting these refrains together. Basically, it's cyclical. Everything becomes cyclical. And then the person who drowned you, so he himself is going to be drowned. So the There's the cyclical nature of life. Amar Rav Yochanan Ragloi Dabar Inish Inun Araven Bay. Your legs are your guarantors. Wherever you walk is an indication of where you want to go. I know that doesn't sound profound. Perhaps we should rethink that. La'asa dimitbay taman movilin yasei. So the Gemara says, wherever you go, that's where you want to go. So hani tarte kushai dahavakame kamishlamo. The Gemara tells a story of two kushai, right? The Rashi says they were referred to as kushi because they were beautiful. Okay. Right, Ramosha's wife, ki right, isha kushit lakach, right, she was beautiful. So the Gemara tells a story. The Elichara ve'aya b'nei shisha sofrim de Shlomo havia. So they were the scribes of Shlomo. Yumachad chayzul amalcha mavis dahava ka'atsev. So at one point in time, Shlomo Melech saw the malcha mavis, and Shlomo Melech conversed with everybody. Right, and everything, right? He had conversations with the trees as well. And so he's having a conversation with the Malach HaMavis. Amalei HaMayat Sifta. So he says to the Malach HaMavis, what's getting you down? So I'm, correct. I'm not sure if I would start a conversation off like that, but Amalei Dekabal Mine Hanitarti Kushai Diasve Hacha. Diasvino Hacha. So the Malach HaMavis says, well, the two Kushai, your two Sofrim, your two scribes, so their time is up, and I came to get them. So Shlomo sent them. He sent them with Si'irim. Now that's the term that we've seen time to time. The word Si'irim is a reference to Shadim. Okay. So Shlomo employed two demons. Shlomo had dominion over the world of the Shadim. So he sent two demons, and he basically had these two escorted to the town of Luz. Kimatel mechuzah Luz. Now, what's so special about the town of Luz? Do you remember? The town of Luz is a place where people go; they don't die. Okay. Forget where the Gemara was. Okay, the Gemara's in Soto. I trust you. No, it's fine. It's good. I trust him. So the Gemara says that Luz is a place where people don't die. So basically, in order to give divine protection to his two scribes, so he sends them out to the town of Luz. Shchivu. So they get there and they die.
Luz is a city where the angel of death doesn't have any power.
Correct. So Lamachar Chazya Malach Mavis Dava Kabadach. And so the next day, now the Malach Mavis is rejoicing. He's happy. Amalei Amai Bedichta Amalei Basa Dabal Minai Taman Shadrinu. So the Malach Mavis says, because that's exactly what I expected them. In other words, apparently he got them not in the town of Luz, because again that would belie the point, but the entrance of the town of Luz, that's where he got them, and the Malach Mavis was able to kill them. And the Malach Mavis says to Shlomo, oh, that's exactly where I expected. That's where they were supposed to be. So Miyad Pasach Shlomo Vamar Aglo Debar Inish Inon Aravin Bay. So your legs are your guarantors, meaning it's where your legs go. That's where you're supposed to be. La'achad demitbay taman movil and yasei. So where the place that you desire to go, that's where your legs are going to take you. So your legs are really reflective of the places you want to be. Okay, fine.
Fine.
It's a fair question. You're just not right. You're not asking the right person. Okay, understood. Tanya Amru Alav Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Kishu Samech Simchas Beisur Shreiv Ayanot Shmona Avuka Shor VeZorik Achas VeNotal Achas VeInogad Zubazu. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was able to juggle 8 torches. Ukishu Mishachaven Oshay God Love Baaretz. And now he bowed. And he was able to bow by inserting his two thumbs into the ground, meaning while standing, he was able to basically take his body, bend it over, not backwards, front, bend it over, and his two thumbs went to the ground. Tremendous flexibility. Vishokha Venoshek as the Ritzman, he was able to kiss the ground. Vizokev. And then he was able to stand himself up using just his thumbs to hold them up. Vein Kolber Yecholasos Kane, and the Gemara accounts that this is not. It cannot be duplicated. Vizui kida, and the Gemara says, and anytime you see the term kida being mentioned, this is the description of kida. It's basically bending over, basically turning your body into the letter U, and then having your legs go up into the air. Levi ach v'kida kamed rebbe v'idla. The Gemara tells a story. I'd say it's a famous story. We've heard the story already a couple times in Shas. This is another one of the occasions where Levi does kida. Levi who was a contemporary of Rabbi Chiya and Rav. So Levi does Kida, he does it in front of Rabbi, and he becomes lame on account of it, meaning he seriously injures himself and basically becomes lame for the remainder of his life. V'ha-garmalei, the Gemara says, now, is that the cause of his disability? V'ha-mer Rebbe Lazar l'olam ayatech adam dorem kalpe mala, sheri adam gadol hitech dorem kalpe mala, v'itla umanu Levi. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Levi spoke inappropriately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara is in Tanis. We're going to see the Gemara shortly enough in the Daf Yomi. Sometime summer or fall, but it's coming up. But we're going to see the Gemara, where the Gemara is going to tell us that Levi needed to come to Eretz Yisrael, and Levi speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he speaks defiantly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the need for rain. And so he spoke inappropriately, and the Gemara says, on account of the fact that he spoke so disrespectfully to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he becomes lame. So the Gemara over here is assigning the blame to the fact that he tried to perform this acrobatic kida. But the Gemara says, well, I understand, but it's not that. That's not the cause. So Havaha Garmalei, so the Gemara says, no, both were the causes, meaning the punishment came on the fact that he spoke disrespectfully. How the punishment materialized is when he tried to perform Kida. Right, like we learned back in Masechta Shabbos, where a woman is at risk when she's delivering a child, meaning when she's in a susceptible state, so then if she has any acts that require onesh, so it's going to come at a susceptible state. So the Levi Mamatali Kame de Rabbi, Betamne Sakita, Levi, now I don't know if this was before he was lame or after he was lame, but in other words, he would throw up 8 knives, right, to show his joy and rejoice. Now mind you, by the way, Rabbi and Levi are living after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what the Gemara is giving us is some sort of picture of what Simchas Beis HaShoeva looked after the destruction. Okay, I'm not asking it as a question, but whatever, just historically grounding us, knowing what we're talking about. So, Sakina Shmuel Kame Shvur Malka Betamye Mazge Chamre. Shmuel was able to juggle in front of Shvur Malka 8 cups of wine. Abai Kame de Rabba Betamye Beye. Abai was able to juggle 8 eggs. Ramila Arba Be, some say 4 eggs. Tanya Amar Yeshua Ben Chanan Yekeshainus Mechim Simchas Beis HaShoeva Lo Reinu Shena Be'enenu. When did they sleep? The answer is, they didn't. Now, we'll modify that in just a moment. To go 7 days consecutive without sleep is impossible. The Gemara will recognize that. The Gemara knows that. But the Gemara basically at this point is saying, no sleep. 7 days? It was a party. It was a week. A week of celebration in the Beis HaMikdash. Kev Tashar Rishon and Tamishol Shachar Misham L'Tfilah. So the Tamishol Shachar, from there they went to Shul to Daven. Misham L'Karmen Musaf, Misham L'Tfilah Samusafim. By the way, it's clear from this Gemara that Davening occurred concurrently in the Beis HaMikdash while they were offering Karban. Right? You could have said that when they were offering Karban there was no Davening. It's clear from this depiction that that's not so. That they daven in conjunction with the karban. Misham LeBeis HaMikdash. Okay, so what do we have? We have Tamid davening, Musaf davening. Then, of course, you go learn. You go to the Beis HaMikdash. Misham LeAchila V'Shtiya. Then you go eat and drink. Misham LeTfilas HaMencha. And from there you go to Mencha. Misham LeTamid Shel Bein Harbayim. And then the Tamid. I'm curious. You saw what happened? They daven, right, you notice that. They daven before they offer the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Right, as opposed to offering the Tamid and then davening. Could be a time issue. I don't know.
But nothing is supposed to come after Tamid Shel Arba'im. That's
okay.
The last thing.
Okay, fine. Okay, I hear. Mikan ve'elach l'simchas Beis HaShoeva. Good. So that was the schedule for the day. Now what about the night? Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Celebration through the night. So they yeah, okay. And then just, and how did they say on the shampoo bottles? Repeat. Okay, so and they did that for 7 days. So the Gemara to that says, okay, that's great, sounds great, but not seven days. Let's say a person makes a shvu, and a shvu is, I will not sleep for 3 consecutive days. That's what's called a shvuas shav. That is a ridiculous shvu, it's a ridiculous statement. So you get malchus for saying a shvu shav, and the shvu has no, it's not binding at all. You can go to sleep right away. So that's three consecutive days. We're talking seven consecutive days. So the Gemara says, when we say no sleep, we mean no bed, 8 hours straight. That's what we mean. They took a snooze on each other's shoulders. They took breaks, but and they dozed every now and then. But in other words, no bed in 8 hours, 8 hour night sleep. 15 steps. So Amalei Rav Chista Lomer Derabanan Da'avik Hamisad Agarata Kamei Amalei Shmila Chani Chamesh Asrei Malos Kenegin Mi. Can we understand a little bit better the idea behind the 15 steps? So the Gemara says Amram David. That was said over by David. Meaning again, what we know in the Mishnah, the 15 steps that connect the Azara to the Ezra's Nashim is the 15 steps. These are 15 steps right over here. It is just east of the Nicanor Gate. There is this area is depressed. Depressed, I mean, geographically, topographically. This area is a depressed area. It is, each step, remember, is a half an amma high. So the 15 steps represent 7.5 ammas. So it's the Azara is seven and a half amma elevation above the Ezra's Nashim. So you need steps. So there were 15 steps going, but why 15? Why the number 15? So the Mishnah said it's because of the Shir HaMalos written by David HaMelech. Okay? But that only begs the next question. Where does that come from? Amalei Hacham Rav Yochanan Bishah Shabara David Shisin. So the Gemara says, well, David was excavating. David was digging into the ground. And why was he doing so? Because he needed a depository for the wine and the water that were going to be poured on the Mizbech. Meaning, remember, David didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, he was told, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. His son, Shlomo HaMelech, built the first Beis HaMikdash, but at least he got it ready. So he dug in the ground. And, by the way, this Gemara doesn't correspond to the Gemara that we saw earlier, that the Shishim were from Sheshishim Abrashis. Okay. Maybe the two Gemaras can be synthesized, but okay. But anyway, Kapitahoma Ubai Lemishtafe Amma. Here's the problem, he hit a pipe. Now, I mean an actual pipe. I mean that the water source is below. And what happened was is that he was digging the shisim, so he hit water and it started flooding. So Amr David Chamesh Yisrei Malos Vahari Dan. So that's the 15 Shir HaMalos in order to lower the water. So the Gemara immediately reacts to this explanation. Ihachi Chamesh Yisrei Malos Yardos Mi Ba'ilei. So not Shir HaMalos, he doesn't want the water to go up, just the opposite. He wants the water to go down. So it should be Shir LeYordos. Now to us, of course, that would sound funny, but that's only because we're not used to it. But anyway, Amar Le Hol Ve'at Karasan Hachi Itmar. He says, that's an excellent point. I'm so happy you reminded me. All right, let's say it again, and let's say it better. B'sha Shabar David Shizin Kapa Tahoma Ubai Lemishtefe Amma. So, you're right. Let's start off the story the same way. He dug into the ground, he excavated in the ground under the Mizbeach in order to create the hollow area under the Mizbeach, and he hit a pipe. Again, I don't mean literally, but he hit a water source, and now it started flooding. So, Amar David Mi'ika Diyada Ishar Lemichtav Shem Achaspa, top of Nugimel Medeis, Avin Nishdaya B'Tahoma. So, can I do the following? I obviously don't want the world to be flooded by water. So I'm going to write Shem Hashem on a shard, on an earthenware shard, and I'm going to throw it in the water. Can I do that knowing that the Shem Hashem will be erased? So Umanach Leka de Kamar Le Midi, and he asked the question to his Rebbeim.
Didn't Moshe the Rabbeinu his friend get Yosef's?
Well, hold on one second. So he asked his Rebbeim, and none of his Rebbeim provided an answer. Amr David called the Adolam Emarveinu Omer Yechanek Begrono. So David HaMelech now intimidates his Rebbeim and he says, look, one of you know the answer. And if you don't tell me right now, Yechanek Grono. Okay, just a gentle nudge to his Rebbeim to provide the answer. Now say Achitofel Kal V'Chomer Be'atzmo. So Achitofel, one of his Rebbeim says, I have it. Yimache al hamayim. If to create peace between husband and wife, so we have an entitlement, a mitzvah, to take God's name and to put it in the water in the Reis Neshem Hashem, and that's just between husband and wife. So laso shalom ha'olam kulo alachas kama v'kama. So you're making shalom with the entire world. So there you definitely have the right. It's what's called the Kal V'chomer, argued by Achitofel. Amar le Shari. So he says it's permissible. Kasa Shem Echazba V'shadil Tahoma. V'nachis Tahoma Shitzar Ape Garmide. So David Melch did exactly that. Roshem Hashem on a piece of shard, threw it into the water, and the water descended down. Problem is, it went too far down. It went down 16,000 amas down into the ground. So kichazin achis tuv amar kama demilitve mirtav alma. So he says that's too far down, meaning and now the water is not going to be, the water table is off balance, and now we're not going to have the proper irrigation saturation, I should say, of the field. So let's correct amar chamishesrei maalos. Now we understand shir hamalos. So now as a in other words, he needs to compensate. The water went too far down. He needs the water to go back up. The water went down 16,000 amas subterranean, so he wants to back up. How much does he want to back up? 15,000 amas up. Chamesa alfei garmide v'ukme ba'alfei garmide. That way it'll be 1,000 amas below ground. So amar ula shmamina simcha dara alfei garmide. In terms of the crust of the earth, the thickness of the earth, the Gemara says it's 1,000 amas. So v'achazina dikarinan purta v'nafke maya. So the Gemara says, but what? Sometimes we dig a little bit into the ground and we get water. So how can you tell me that the crust of the earth is 1,000 amas when empirically we see you can dig a little bit below and you get water? So that's not subterranean water. That's water coming from the Euphrates, literally the ladder of the Euphrates. I don't fully understand what that means. I don't know enough about topography and water, and but fine. But the Gemara says, but that's not subterranean water. That's the Euphrates water. Okay. Just as a point of interest, before we're going to finish up to the mission in just a moment. So it's a beautiful clay yakar. The clay yakar can be found in Brachos Perek Vav. Rabbi Kornfeld brings it down. That's what pointed me in the correct direction. So anyway, so the clay yakar talks a little bit more about this idea of 15. 15 becoming the number that David HaMelech used in order to say the Shir HaMalos, because he wanted to create shalom for the entire world. Why the number 15? So the clay yakar says that 15 is a composite of two letters. It's Yud and it's Hey. So the letter Yud and the word Ish and the letter Hey of the word Isha come together and form the name of Hashem. Right? Ish and Isha. The only difference between the two words Ish and Isha is the Yud and the Hey. So if there's no peace between a man and a wife, so the letters of Akash Baruch are taken out, and what's left is Ish. And they end up destroying one another. So the Yud and the Hey represent Shalom between husband and wife. The 15 rows of the steps in the Beis HaMikdash join the Ezras Nashim and Ezras Yisrael, meaning if you look behind me, it's a beautiful clay yakar. So yeah, so in other words, so what do those 15 amas do? Sorry, those 15 steps, so they're connecting the Ezras Nashim to the Ezras Yisrael. So, which is formed when there's peace between man, okay, I'm sorry. When the flood came down, this is why this clay yakar is in Parshas Noach. When the flood came down, so that's as a result of the fact that people were involved in arayos, in immoral behavior. And so the world was flooded. And how many amos above the mountain did the water extend? The water went 15 amos above the mountain. The waters arose 15 amos above the mountain. The people sinned by abusing the Yud and the Hey, spelled by Hashem's name. They weren't faithful. And as a result of that, the water rose. How many days did the water come down? This is a great kaliyakar. How many days did the water come down? 150 days. Right, a multiple of 15. Okay, the teva itself, it's just great. The teva itself, 50 amas by 300 amas by 10 amas. So, how many cubic amas was the teva? 150,000 cubic amma. Again, a multiple of 15. So again, so the idea that the 15 is the yud and the hey, and that creates the shalom. And if there is a breach of shalom, So then the flood is going to. I'll do one more. The Gemara in Brachos, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was threatened with death because he refused to have children. In other words, he knew b'nevuah that his child wasn't going to be good, so he refused to have children. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you're not going to have children, so fine, so your life is over. So he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he got an extension. How many years extension did he get in his life? He got 15 years extension on his life. Okay, good. Kli Yakra. Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes Vav in Bereishis. Okay, let's just finish up to the Mishnah. By Rav Yirmiya, Lamala Asir Senachis Chamisha Vekai Asara Odoma Nanachis Asara Vekai Achamisha. The Mishnah is a little bit ambiguous. The Mishnah says that when they descended from the Ezra Sisrael down to the Ezra Snashim, so they stopped at step number 10. Is that step number 10 from the top or step number 10 from the bottom? Teku, the Gemara says, this is one where the Mishnah is just left ambiguous. We don't know. Tanu Rabban Mimashur Shanem Rufneim Kade Mayni Yodir Sha'acharem Al Hechal Hashem. Now the Pasuk in describing, remember how they said their forefathers were involved in idolatry. They faced east, and their backs were to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, well, that's redundant. If they're facing east, obviously their back is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elamata malamar acharem aleichal Hashem l'amishayu par matzmam matrizin kapei mata. So in a graphic sign of disrespect, so not only were their backs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they defecated in that direction as well. Anu l'Hashem v'l'Hashem einenu, just finishing up the Mishnah. Ini v'amar Rabbi Zera kol amar shma shma kila amar modim modim. To repeat the Shem Hashem twice is theologically wrong. In other words, it's as if we're acknowledging that there are two deities. So you're not allowed to say Shema Shema, you're not allowed to say Modim Modim, the Mishnah and Brachos. You have a Shliach Tzibor, he says Modim, he repeats the word Modim. So what do? Replace him. get a new Shliach Tzibor. So the Gemara says, how could you say Hashem's name twice in the... So Elahachi Amre. So the Gemara says, okay, let's just a small modification in terms of what they would say. Hema Mishtachim Kedma Va'anu LaHashem Ve'enenu LaHashem Eyachalos. You break it up into two separate phrases. That's acceptable. So we are to Hashem, meaning we're loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on top of that, we hope and we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the two separate phrases, and the word Hashem is not repeated back to back, and therefore it's not a problem of saying modim twice. Okay, our time will stop over here. Tomorrow on Shabbos, we'll start with the new Mishnah.